And what changes in the natural ecosystem are caused by the ongoing global warming process?
The ecosystem, I mean, basically you're seeing, you know, birds migrating further north and getting confused because of their, you know, and I think you probably, I know I've noticed this, but the geese have been hanging around here a lot longer and certain bugs and things like that. So it just really puts a whole, it performs a chaotic line of process throughout the whole ecosystem. And the scary part, like for instance, bees, okay. Bee population's been dropping. Okay, that bees are huge to human beings because of pollinization, almonds, and many other food sources. So we lose bees, we're in big trouble. So things like that particularly are really important to keep an eye on and try to reverse.
And maybe equally of a challenge, are you seeing a clear picture of how our upcoming winter will play out?
Yeah, I'm you know, again, it's all long-range forecasts, but what I'm seeing, I'm getting a little more confidence that we could end up having a rougher winter. Now, NOAA, National Weather Service, NOAA put out their winter prediction. And once again, we're in the mild. If you look at the graph, I don't have it with me. I guess I could have, if I thought about it, we could have placed it on Zoom. But I'll tell you that we're above normal, but you go much further west in Syracuse and they're in equal chances. So it's not that far away that we are, it might be colder, but I think it's going to be a little different from that. And I know I said that last year and I wasn't quite right, but this time I'm going with what I saw in the fall. We cooled off very quickly. The La Nina developed. We're in the same sunspot cycle. And I know sunspots in the long scheme of things don't really matter, but they can sometimes influence short-term events like blocking in the atmosphere increases during times of minimal sunspot activity sometimes. Anyway, all these factors lead me to believe the analog of this winter reminds me of 1995-96. Now, you probably don't remember that, but I do.
It was I was just being born.
Yeah, you were a young kid. I was already past my prime, but I was my first season in Albany, and we had a rough winter. We had a hot, dry summer. If you take away Isises, the rain from that, we pretty much had a dry summer. We got 3 to 5 inches from that. But that was one event, and then it was out of here. Anyway, 1995 was a hot summer. Then it cooled off very quickly in September. La Nina developed, and it just seems like the pattern I'm seeing is kind of mimicking that pattern. And let me tell you, that winter started early in November. I earlier said I thought we'd have a mild November. I've taken that off the table, although the first week looks pretty good, but I'm not as confident about that anymore. What I am confident about is the cold January, I've been saying, cold and snowy. I think the rest of the winter could be pretty rough. It could be a colder and snowier winter, and it may linger well into March too. It did that year. So I think you mentioned something about, well, anyway, I'm not a big fan of winter, but that's what I'm seeing right now is perhaps potentially a colder and snowier winter.
Are you prepared for the winter weather?
I'm never prepared. Now, you know, I live in Albany. I have to be prepared. I have a snow blower at work. I have four neighbors that are a lot older than me. So I feel like I need to plow them out because if I don't, they'll plow me out. And I feel guilty because I'm younger and presumably a little healthier than they are. But anyway, I do like snowshoeing. I like, you know, I'll be doing some of that, but it's going to be rough this winter. This winter, you bring the coronavirus into play. I mean, you know, we had the lockdown in March, but at least we had spring around the corner, longer days coming. Now that, you know, we're going to set the clocks back next week, it'll be dark at 5:30 and cold, and people, I'm not going indoors to a restaurant. Other people may or may not, but anyway, so it's going to be a long, cold winter. It's a long winter to begin with, even if it isn't a cold winter, but then you add that perhaps a lot of snow and cold. It's just going to be a challenging time, I think, for a lot of us. So we're just going to have to prepare for it. Just going to have to deal with it the best we can. We normally go away in winter, but this year we probably won't be. Maybe a last minute thing to Florida, but we're going to be driving, not flying. That's for sure. If we go anywhere.
Snowbird.
Yeah, but no, I mean, my take off, you know, is just get your snowblower ready and get ready for winter. We do get winter here. Almost always get some winter.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? To mention a really hot summer, when I first moved to Albany, I would say 2017 summer was super dry. Like, I've never had a more hotter summer in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm from middle of New York, what people right. from the city consider upstate. But anyway,
right.
And then the winter was also very cold that year.
Yeah.
I was so shocked. I was, and then I remember my mom, she was like, you know, they break records up there.
Was like, was that March of 17? About March, right? March of 17 was very cold. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, it was.
Now, last question. Why are wind turbines such a huge concern?
Well, they are for some people. I mean, wind turbines are generally considered a very clean and efficient way of producing energy because they use, just like the solar, instead of using the sun, they use the wind. If they're in the right place, they can usually crank out some pretty good power. The problem that a lot of people are concerned about is they kill birds, and they could be a bit of a you know, not the most beautiful thing to look at. But as far as the birds go, from everything I read, again, I'm not an expert on this, but everything I read, yeah, they do kill birds, but so do skyscrapers. And think how many skyscrapers are out there. So do other things, in planes and things like that. So the idea is that they don't kill any more. In fact, they kill less than that. And they do have now, they have, I believe they have certain ones they can actually produce a sound that can actually repel certain birds, can actually, you know, determine that they don't stay away from them. It's like an enemy or something. I think there's some technology going into some of the newer ones now that can drop down the bird killing a little bit more. I think in the long term of things, it's still better than burning certainly coal. I mean, coal is just absolutely bad, and probably better than natural gas, the fracking, which causes the water, compromises water tables. So I still think, in my opinion, I think it's a good thing that we always continue to move on with the technology to make it more efficient and make it more bird friendly. And I think they are working in that direction.
Okay. And before we go, our special message about CO2 and who to call and when to do. Yeah.
Don't drive if you don't have to. Try to walk. It gets harder now in the bad weather, and walk or bicycle anywhere you can, because every mile you drive, you put a pound of CO2 into the air, and every bit is causing the numbers to go up. 443 ppm is what we got up to this year. So it's even with the slowdown of economy and people not driving, it finally crept back up again. So, you know, it's just going to take a long time to get it out. But every little thing anybody can do, is it helps.
Well, it was great talking to you, Mr. Johnson. As always, it is a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to talking to you, Erica. And it was good seeing you again from face to face for the first time in months.
Spoke with retired meteorologist Hugh Johnson for his show As the World Turns. And this was segment 13. Thank you so much, Mr. Johnson.
You got it. Have a great day.